الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Honorable Ulama, respected elders and dear brothers, we are all aware that we are passing through the months of Hajj. This is the season of Hajj. And hence I thought it pertinent for us to speak about some aspects related to Hajj. In particular, the bond and attachment that we should be having for the Haramain. And secondly, some virtues of those who are performing Hajj, the Haji. And lastly, inshallah, I will speak about some actions that we can do in order for us to secure the rewards of Hajj if we are circumstantially, of course, unable to perform Hajj this year. So every single believer inherently has a strong attachment to the Haramain. We should be having a strong bond and attachment to the Haramain. When we study the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records the du'as of Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. In one particular verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. The dua that he made, فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. Essentially, O Allah, make Makkah mukarrama, make the Kaaba musharrafa, a magnet for the hearts of some people. In other words, make the hearts of some people be attracted to and make it attached to the Kaaba musharrafa. So when we desire to be there, this is in fact a manifestation to the answer of the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam came to Makkah Mukarrama, a barren land, no life, no source of water apparently, no vegetation, he was instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to leave his wife Hajar alayhi salam, his son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And then when he built the Kaaba, eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him an instruction. Allah records this instruction in Surah Al-Hajj. وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. O Ibrahim, make the call. Make the call and call people towards Hajj. Perhaps he might have said, حَيَّ عَلَى الْحَجِّ. Come towards Hajj. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam then asked Allah, O Allah, I'm going to make this call, but there's no one here, who's going to answer the call? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then comforts Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And he says to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, you make the call. The answer for that call is my responsibility. So Allah then continues the same verse. Allah says, يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيرٍ. Make the call, people will come to the Kaaba. They will come on foot. They will come on every lean camel from every distant pass. So when the Hujjaj are traveling and they arrive in Makkah Mukarrama, and when we say Labbaik, this is essentially an answer to the call of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam that was made centuries ago. This is the attachment that we should be having to Makkah Mukarrama. This is a blessed, special place. When we study Madinah Munawwara, the blessed city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Al-Madinah. He made a dua for Madinah. Allahumma ja'al bil-Madinati di'fay ma ja'altaha fi Makkah min al-barakah. O Allah, the blessings that you have placed in Makkah Mukarrama, grant us double that in Madinah Munawwara. Grant us double those blessings in Madinah Munawwara. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true love of the Haramain. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a resting place and burial in Jannatul Baqiyah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَمُوتَ بِالْمَدِينَةِ فَلْيَفْعَلْ. Whosoever from amongst you is able to secure a death in Medina should do so. For I will intercede on behalf of that person who secures a death in Medina Munawwara. What is the message? My respected elders and dear friends, the message is that we should be having a strong attachment and a bond to the Haramain. It is rather sad and tragic that There are so many un-Islamic events that take place around the globe. And we find ourselves following them very, very closely. But when it comes to the aspect of Hajj, leave alone the rites of Hajj, we are unaware of the days of Hajj. Why? Because Hajj is something that is taking place far away. It has nothing to do with me. Whereas we should be following the season of Hajj every single day. Our hearts should be pining. Yearly we should be desiring and pining to be there. Yearly we should be desiring and pining to be in Makkah Mukarramah. Today when events take place, for sports for example, then we are aware of the time of kickoff. We know exactly who's playing, who's not playing. And you know, nowadays you can safely say that leave alone the person who's playing, we know his biography, we know the person that he is married to, we even know the children that he has, the number of children that he has. Sadly, that is the reality. So when it comes to the season of Hajj, yearly we should be pining to be there. Inshallah, because of circumstances, if we are not there, we are unable to go, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the rewards of the desire that we have. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept this dua that we make. كم من واصل إلى البيت وقلبه منقطع عن رب البيت وكم من قاعد على فراشه في بيته وقلبه متصل بالبيت. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah ta'ala records this beautiful poetry and he says, how many people are physically there in front of Baytullah, but their hearts are disconnected from the Kaaba, they are disconnected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how many people are far away, in remote areas around the world, but their hearts attached to the Kaaba. Their hearts are attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The message again, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the love of the Haramain. A great pious person, a tabi'i by the name of Abdul Rahman bin Aswad bin Yazid al-Nakhai rahimahullah ta'ala. He was a great tabi'i in the very early days. He inherited hadith directly from our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and other senior sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. For us to appreciate what a figure he was, how righteous he was, Malik bin Mighwal rahmatullahi alayh says that once I came for Jumu'ah Salah and I came very, very early. So I saw Abdul Rahman enter. And he says that without exaggeration, I found Abdul Rahman, rahmatullahi alayhi, performing no less than 60 rakats of Nafil Salah. It is mentioned regarding him, Abdul Rahman bin Aswad bin Yazid al-Nakhai, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that when he, in his life rather, he performed 60 Hajj and Umrah. Amazingly, لَمْ يَجْمَعْ بَيْنَهُمَا. He did not combine between Hajj and Umrah in the same journey. So we know Tamattu Hajj, Qiran Hajj, these two types of Hajj, a person combines both Hajj and Umrah in one journey. But he did not combine between the two. Some were Umrah journeys and some were Hajj journeys. You might ask the question that we have so many people today, Alhamdulillah, they are fortunate enough to be performing Umrah and Hajj every single year. It's nothing far-fetched. But let's imagine, let's rewind in history. He's a tabi'i. A tabi'i. Not a modern era like ours. No mode of conveyance like aeroplanes like ours. They were traveling in the heat of Arabia. They were traveling by camels. Very scarce resources. And yet, they had such an attachment to the Haramain that he performed no less than 60 Hajj and Umrah. With regard to his father, Aswad bin Yazid al-Nakhai rahmatullahi alayh, he was the khal and the maternal uncle of Ibrahim al-Nakhai. Ibrahim al-Nakhai is a very, very prominent figure in our Hanafi fiqh. The ustad of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, if I'm not mistaken. So his father, rahmatullahi alayhi, performed 80 Hajj and Umrah. لَمْ يَجْمَعْ بَيْنَهُمَا. He did not combine between Hajj and Umrah in the same journey. You know, we speak about a net worth of a family. They have so many properties in Dubai. They have so many shops in this upmarket area in Durban. They have so many cars, this fleet of cars. They have this collection of watches. But is that truly an accolade? This is an accolade for a family. This is a feather in the cap of the Nakhai family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the love that the pious have for the Haramain. Secondly, respected elders and dear friends, I want to speak about some virtues of those who are going to be performing Hajj, the Haji. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on his farewell Hajj journey, there was a Sahabi who accompanied him. فَوَقَعَ عَنْ رَاحِلَتِهِ The Sahabi, he fell off his horse. فَأَوْقَصَتْهُ or فَأَقْعَصَتْهُ He fell down and his animal, his conveyance, trampled him and this led to his death. فَذُكِرَ ذَلِكَ لِلنَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ Sahaba came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, this is what has happened to the Sahabi. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then says to the Sahaba, اِغْسِلُوهُ بِمَاءٍ وَسِدْرٍ Give him a ghusl with water mixed with sidr leaves. وَلَا تُحَنِّطُوهُ And don't apply any perfume on him. Because he is in ihram. This is the honor and the status Allah has given the Hujjaj. Every single year we hear of someone from our locality, our community, our country, those who are passing away in the blessed lands. Look at the honor and the status and their position in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, don't apply any perfume on him. Allah loves that state. From another hadith we learn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He comes down to the first heaven, obviously without any comparison to His creation, He comes down to the first heaven, and He bows to the malaika. And He says to the malaika, oh my malaika, look at my slaves. They have come to me, shu'fan ghubara. They have come to me with disheveled hair. They have come to me with dusty clothes. Allah loves that condition wherein we submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wholeheartedly. We're not worried about our clothes. We're not worried about our hair. Allah loves that condition that He bows to the malaika about these slaves that are coming for Hajj. In the same hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when the haji is pelting at the jamara, when the haji is pelting at the jamara for every single stone that he pelts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe away one major sin. The hadith is al-bazaar, authentic narration. And the qurbani that a haji makes, فَمَدْخُورٌ لَكَ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the reward is a surprise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for the haji. You know, sometimes when a person gives you a gift, perhaps they'll give you a gift bag with the gift inside. Sometimes the gift bag is two times the size of the gift. Or it's even more expensive than the gift. When you open the bag, you're like, oh, I thought it was something very expensive or something big. So you might be disappointed or you might be excited about the gift that you received. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the surprise will never ever disappoint. Allah says, it's a surprise. I have kept it for you. I will give it to you in Jannah. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنِ Allah mentions in Surah Al-Sajdah that you know not what I have concealed for you or what has been concealed for you for the comfort of your eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept it as a surprise. To digress objectively, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith regarding Jannah, he mentions, مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ The eye has never seen, the ears have never heard, and the heart has never perceived the surprise that Allah has in store for us in Jannah. Ulama asked the question, the eyes have never seen, we can understand. The heart has never perceived, we can understand. But what about the ears have never heard? We always hear about Jannah. We hear about Jannah in Quran. We hear about Jannah in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So some ulama, may Allah reward them, they answer the question and they say that what we have heard about Jannah is only a starter. It's like a starter that a person gives us when we go to their house for a meal and they host us. Sometimes the starter is so magnificent, so amazing, that when you are there and when you are having and partaking of the starter, you feel that this is the full course meal. This is the full course meal, until your host tells you that, wait, the seventh course meal is still coming. Because you are so amazed by the starter, can you imagine what the full course meal might be like? This is the translation, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ Ulama say, in Surah Al-Qaf, Allah says, they will have whatever they wish. Whatever we wish is restricted to the starter. وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ But Allah says, we have more, we have more, we have more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so much more in store for us. Jannah, which we should be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. In Tirmidhi, there's a hadith, a person who asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah 3 times a day. And he seeks protection from Jahannam 3 times a day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his dua. So let us do that inshaAllah ta'ala. Coming back to the hadith that I mentioned with regard to the sahabi who passed away in Hajj, in the state of ihram. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to the sahaba, O my sahaba, give him ghusl in water mixed with sidr leaves. وَلَا تُحَنِّطُوهُ Don't apply any perfume on him. وَلَا تُخَمِّرُوا رَأْسَهُ Don't cover his head. Why? Because he's in the state of ihram. فَكَفِّنُوهُ فِي ثَوْبَيْهِ The clothing that he's wearing, the 2 pieces of cloth, that will be his kafan. Don't give him a new kafan. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather, he informs us of the status and why this person is buried in this manner. Look at the status. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّهُ يُبْعَثُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مُلَبِّيًا This person, when he's resurrected on the plains of Hashr on the day of Qiyamah, when every single other person is in worry, anxiety and concern, this person will come and present himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a manner that he is reciting labbaik. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the privilege to perform Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for those who have the desire to go but are unable to go because of circumstances. Finally, respected elders and dear friends, we speak about some actions that we can do in order for us to secure the rewards of Hajj. Obviously, this is the rewards. If you still have an obligatory Hajj to perform, that you have to do. That is an obligation upon every single person who has the means. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith, narrated by Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala an, and mentioned in Abu Dawood. من خرج من بيته متطهرا إلى صلاة مكتوبة فأجره كأجر الحاج المحرم. That person who leaves his home and he performs wudu at home and he joins the congregational salah in the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the reward like a haji in the state of ihram. In another hadith narrated by Abu Umama radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man ghada ila al-masjid la yuridu illa an yata'allama khayran aw yu'allimah fa ajruhu ka ajri al-hajji hajjan tammatuhu aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That person who goes to the masjid, every day we go to the masjid, let's make this intention that we go to the masjid to learn something good. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that person who goes to the masjid, his intention is purely that he should learn something good or teach something good, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the reward of one hajj, a complete hajj. Final narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or rather Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that a person once came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah, inni ashtahi al-jihad wa la aqdiru alayhi. Ya Rasulullah, I want to go out in jihad, but I don't have the means. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked him, Al baqiya min walidayka ahadun? Is there any one of your parents alive? He says, Faqala ummi, yes, my mother is alive. Then he says to him, Fa'ablillaha fi birriha. Show your commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being dutiful and serving your mother. فَإِذَا فَعَلْتَ ذَلِكَ O my sahabi, if you do this, if you do what I'm telling you, فَإِذَا فَعَلْتَ ذَلِكَ فَأَنْتَ حَاجٌ وَمُعْتَمِرٌ وَمُجَاهِدٌ Not only have you performed Hajj, you have performed Hajj, you have performed Umrah, and you have done jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us dutiful to our parents. May Allah make us children who bring about smiles and joy to our parents. Not difficulty and sadness. The biggest complaint of our parents today is that our children are not there to spend time with us. We have time for every other activity. We have time for our children. We have time for extracurricular activities. And we are worried about our physical health, mental health. But let's worry about our doors of Jannah. Our doors of Jannah are there, and they are only temporary. They are temporary. When they are gone, then we are going to cry tears of blood. We are going to cry tears of blood. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Somebody came to Ali ibn Hussein, Zainul Abidin, rahmatullahi alayhi. And they said to him, that, إِنَّكَ مِنْ أَبَرِّ النَّاسِ إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ we find you to be very, very dutiful to your mother. You do everything for her. You serve her very well. ولكن لسنا نراك تأكل مع أمك في صحبتي. We see that you don't share the same plate with her when you're eating. You know, that was the norm back in the day, that they would share the meal in one plate. Today we have a plate for every single person, individual member of the family. A plate, a cup, a spoon, and you can name it. So they would share a meal from the same plate. So they say to him that, "Oh Ali, we see that you don't share a meal with your mother from the same plate. Why?" So then he says to them, "Inni akhafu an tasbiqa yadi ila ma qad sabaqat 'aynuha fa akuna qad 'aqaqtuha." I fear that if my hands stretch out to a morsel that her eyes have laid on it, then I will be regarded as a disobedient son. This is the level that they took. They took it to when it came to their commitment and serving their parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us dutiful children to our parents. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us beautiful parents to our children. So what did we mention? We spoke about the love and attachment that we should be having, strengthening that bond and attachment to the Haramain. We spoke about some virtues of Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the Hajj of the Hujjaj. If you know someone that is leaving, make sure that you speak to them and ask them to make dua for you. Allah will forgive them when they are making dua for forgiveness. In a hadith it comes, وَلِمَنْ شَفَعْتُمْ لَهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive those on whose behalf they are seeking forgiveness for. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all our hujjaj, hajj maqbool and mabroor. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.